what. But then, of course, this Russian pagans come to into view. Now, since they accepted Christianity, now they have to learn the art too. So at first they imitated the Greeks, but then by the 14th and 15th centuries, the Russian iconography began to be more so expressive than the Greek did. The Greek icons, if you examine books, the Greek depictions are more statue-like, kind of stiff, starched up, whereas the Russian compositions, they have more flow. They have, when the angels flies from heaven, for instance, the flow is well expressed. Or the Annunciation, for instance, the Annunciation of Virgin Mary. There is a definite different composition, more so with the flow than the Greek composition, and many others. Saint George and the Dragon, for instance, you observe those, you will see a definite difference. The same style, I mean, the same form, but yet a flavor was definitely different. And that period of time is known as the golden era of iconography. Then, as early as the mid of the 16th century, influence from the West was apparent, and a lot of Renaissance elements crept into iconography, and until the mid of this century, the churches that were open for worship, like in Russia, they all had Renaissance type of iconography. And now we are returning to the traditional way, traditional form, traditional language of iconographic expression.
I have a question on the technique. Is that oil or tempera or what?
The earliest technique, like 3rd, 4th, 5th centuries, they used hot wax, hot colored wax. Then they used quite a lot of fresco. Fresco is something that when you have a fresh plaster, they incorporate colors right into the wall, you see. Those are long-lasting, but of course, if the wall cracks, you have a damaged picture. Tempera, egg tempera came into existence. Egg tempera is pretty stable, but then you need something to preserve with, and that preservative used to be known as oliva. It's a linseed oil. Mixed with a few different spices that makes that a protective coat. But oliva had a weak point in its composition because it absorbed through centuries, it absorbed soot, dust, and whatever, and they became blackboards. In other words, almost nothing was recognizable what was depicted on those boards. And until the time when the cleanup technique was perfected, at the turn of this century, those blackboards sat somewhere up in the attic. And once they cleaned up those blackboards, they discovered that they were most beautiful. The colors were undistorted, untouched. Once that the black surface, that protective, used to be protective coat, was removed, the colors were absolutely perfect. Today we use varnish and oil. This is in oil. Oil seems to be lasting a long time too. We have early Renaissance pictures done in oil, and they are still okay. A lot of this depends on what you put your picture on. See, this one is done on wood. Then you mount canvas. Nice thick canvas I use, and then you apply so many coats of gesso, and you send once it dries, then you send each coat of gesso, and you apply more until the entire canvas pattern is covered, and then you transfer your design and begin to work on it. And then today we have different varieties of varnish. This is what normally was used to protect the painted surface.
Are you in the apprenticeship area this year?
Yes. This is the product of my apprentice.
Right, so people can come over and see this. Are you going to be working over there?
Yeah, well, we're displaying, and we have some literature. We have videos for people to observe. We didn't bring any paints. Just brought the final product of the apprentice. That's how we did this in the last 3 months. She completed 4 icons. And she started another 4 yet that she wants to complete.
Beautiful.
Which 4 are the ones your apprentice chose? Which did you teach? And is there any significance to the 4 that your apprentice chose?
No. But the only significance is that you want to teach something simpler than complex. In other words, a one bust figure, for instance, is simpler than to go into a complex design like the Nativity of Jesus Christ. See. Yes. Yes, definitely it has to be the biblical aspect must be main consideration. The colors, those saints, for instance, Saint Nicholas or Saint John, and angels, for instance, they already are established more so than less known saints. And then, of course, you have to kind of read the background of a particular saint before you decide which color goes in and which color do you want to apply on the top robe. But the established colors of most known icons are definitely established. There is no modification, or should not be any.
So there's not a whole bunch of artistic liberty?
No, not much. That's true. That's rather conservative. In other words, Renaissance was liberal, and iconography is conservative.
Have you seen any changes, say, in your lifetime, in the way it's going?
The only change that I have seen that the naturalistic depiction in our churches are going bye-byes, and the traditional iconography taking their place.
So actually, they're
in other words, we are improving. we're returning to the traditional form of the icon.
Is there anything do you modify the tradition at all because you're in Florida and not in Russia or Greece?
It doesn't matter where you are. The Bible is the same, you see. If I can modify a biblical composition, that means that I can modify or rewrite a biblical passage.
Any more questions from the audience? She wants.
Oh, we had classes. This time we had in my house. The space is limited. That's why I just had one apprentice. We moved from Chicago. I had two floors. One floor was practically empty, where I had classes and maybe a dozen of students at one time. But here I don't have much room, so it's can't expand very far.
And what city are you in?
I'm in Winter Park, which is next to Orlando. Yeah. Where are you from? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yes, yeah, of course you would have to, yes. Mm-hmm. I see, okay, yeah. So you're the good neighbors, sure. Yes.
Do you ever interact with some of the other Orthodox churches around the state? Say, for instance, do you ever get involved over at Tarpon Springs, where there's a large Greek community?
Yes, I served for Greeks a number of times. I'm found where I'm needed. At the moment, I'm helping out St. Petka's Orthodox Church in Longwood. That's near Orlando, too. I serve with there are four churches in Orlando, in the Orlando area. This coming Sunday, I'm going to serve for the Antiochian priest. That's the Lebanese Orthodox people. He's going on vacation. He was wondering if I could help him out. I said, okay, let's go.
Is that to help in the manner of a priest or an iconographer?
No, Sunday's liturgy, liturgical services.
I see.
Mostly.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Father.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks for coming up, and I hope the people will get a chance to come by and see you and your apprentice in the down in the craft shops in the apprenticeship area.
Yeah.
We're just going to talk about the tea ceremony.
Oh, we just did that this morning. You should be over there. We had the
I should be over there, but,
yeah,
you know,
we had the rats fun.
We've always got something to learn from this woman, Mrs. Kazuko Law from Pensacola, and we're going to keep this brief, but we're just going to talk with her further. We've talked many times before. She received the Florida Folk Heritage Award last year, and she's been a master in the apprenticeship program twice. For Japanese women's arts, she taught dance 2 years ago, and she taught decorative arts, including tamari, the balls of color that women in Japan grow up learning to make. She's also a master of the tea ceremony, and that's kind of what we were going to talk about. She demonstrated the tea ceremony for the teacher's workshop, and she says, "Why weren't you there?" Well, she has a point. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks to the Florida Department of State and the Florida Park Service, the Florida Folk Festival is able to do some good stuff, and amongst it is bringing you Mrs. Kazuko Law from Pensacola, Florida.
Thank you.
Mrs. Law, how long have you lived in Pensacola?
Almost 20 years, I think. Yeah, almost 20 years.
And you got so much to share. I just want to focus on a little bit this afternoon. For instance, say the tea ceremony. You did that with the teacher's workshop, this morning.
Yes.
And you've told me you regularly do it twice a week. You perform the tea ceremony and share it. And you've indicated to me that those two groups are two different groups of people. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you do the tea ceremony every week?
I do it on a Tuesday evening and a Thursday evening, around 7 o'clock where I started. This people's come as about three is regular every week. And two, three is, you know, different people just to stop by.
So it's small groups.
Mm-hmm.
But you've indicated that pretty much people from Panama City come to
yes.
visit you one night of the week.
Yes.
And people from Pensacola come the other night of the week.
Yes. As we have that fun with it. Because, but Panama City people have been coming to my house for almost 3 years. She is very interested, and she come every Tuesday evening. She don't miss too often. Yes. I really like this lady to work with because learn fast.
How did you learn?
I was 11 years old. Because I was tomboy, I had a brother, I'd rather play with my brother instead of the girl. Well, my mother don't like that. So, if I rest tea ceremony, maybe, you know, phenomenon and so forth. So I started, I was age 11.
And you were learning other things at the time, were you not? At the same time, you were learning this at the same time as you learned other women's arts?
This is my tamari bowl. That is all that's come from my grandmother's mother.
Tamari balls, the decorative balls of color we were talking about earlier.
Color, very pretty. And so that is when I was little. And origami is every evening, almost, we have about 45 minutes after dinner. This is our time. Grandchildren and my grandmother and grandfather's time for 45 minutes. That is when grandparents tell us about when she was young, she was a little girl until young woman. And then she started teach. But we don't have televisions. Only we had the radio. After dinner for 45 minutes, that's grandchildren and the grandparents' time to get to know each other, you know? We had more fun with us 45 minutes and then all day. I was looking forward to that come dinner time. That was I learned folding paper and a tamari bowl. And tea ceremony, I have to go, like I said, went to age 11. Japanese dance lesson, I was age 5.
You were age 5 when you started Japanese dancing. Now, Japanese dancing is something that Mrs. Law has demonstrated here in the past. And actually, her group will be here on Sunday. And you can see Wako Kai, Mrs. Law's dance group of Japanese ladies from the Air Force Base and other places around Pensacola. But you married and moved to the United States in the 1950s, am I right?
I'm 52.
Uh-huh.
First time I come to state in 52. And then I went home for about 2-3 years and then come back again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Europe and then we stayed there for 3 years. You know, I've been in the United States.
And how long have you lived in Florida?
I think about 20 years.
20 years. You've taught your children. Wasn't it your daughter who was your apprentice in tamari ball making?
Uh-huh. She is still making it, you know, when she have time. Of course, we cannot get anything hurry. We don't get it done, you know. So when she have time, just work with them. And then put them away, then maybe another time she does, you know, work with it. She's doing it very well. She make a beautiful designer bowl.
Well, how did you feel about the tea ceremony this morning with the teachers? They must have enjoyed that. Did you enjoy sharing with, what did they have, 15 people in that group?
About 15.
Uh-huh.
20 people.
Was that about right, or was that too many people?
It's just about right, that group is about 15.
Really?
We had, very nice time, and seems the teachers very enjoy it.
Mrs. Law is a gifted speaker and performer, and you will hear her and see her in other places around the festival, but it's also a good chance, before we quit here, to invite you all to have some questions of your own, and I'll let y'all think about that for a few minutes. But who have you brought with you this year? Your assistant has been...
Yes, I just brought one girl with me, but the rest of the people, five girls, maybe six, is coming Sunday, because people was walking people, and some is walking, some had grandmother is ill, mother-in-law was in the hospital, so forth, so she can make it, she may can't, but rest of the girls are going to be here Sunday.
And would you tell us a little bit about what sort of materials you need for the tea ceremony? Did you need a lot, or all you really need is boiling water? Did you need other things? These costumes, for instance? These your clothes?
A kimono is usually wear. It's sara kata. We do not have any design and so forth. You know, one kata. And we... Other than that, you do not wear anything, earring, necklace, and watch, and ring, so forth. Anything metal, you're not supposed to in the tea room. Everybody, before you go into tea room, you had a plate so big, leave outside. So you take everything and shine, leave it into the dump tray. Then when you're ready, after you finish your tea ceremony, you just go out to pick up what belongs to you, and then go home.
She's saying, suggesting that you speak into the microphone just a little bit more.
Oh.
Because... Would you switch places with me, Mrs. Love?
Sure. And then this go this way.
And have you been teaching the tea ceremony to anybody who can continue to perform it? Do they learn to pass that tradition along as well?
I hope so. My daughter is doing, but she been doing since she was in high school. Then went to the college, and I think she's still doing it in Illinois with another teacher once or twice a month. She don't have too much time, you know, like I do.
Well, you've been demonstrating origami today as well, and I believe every day the children will be working with origami. You've done that at festivals around Pensacola and around the area. Your origami is also a wonderful thing that you do. Is there anything that makes particularly fine origami? What would be a great origami paper folding example?
Well, really what I do, mine is not finest, artist either, because Japan is make this so many difficult things to make in a beautiful design. But what I do with the children's, so this is very simple. A flower is simple, but why I do it is, to me, is more important. I love children to learn another culture, another countries, since not everyone can go to Japan to learn. I'm here. I like to share what I know, so people can now go to Japan, you know, feel like they've been to Japan. So mine is a very simple, simple step origami paper.
I was at a tea ceremony, and it's really a fantastic demonstration of what they do at a tea ceremony. I mean, the room was plain except for a beautiful vase of one flower and a branch.
Yes.
And everyone sat around the table, and then we were told we were supposed to pick up the cups and look at them and see how lovely they were made. And everything was appreciation.
Yes.
And I think that was just wonderful. And then later on, they told us that when the person was dishing out the tea, and making each cup of tea, that after it was all over, the main thing was the design in the tea, that she was good at it. She made a design in the tea with each scoop that she took out of the tea. So it was all appreciation. It was a lovely. I have been to another one, and it wasn't, you know, as nearly as good as that.
Yes, what we use in the flower in the tea room, well, use wild flower. We do not going to store to buy anything. This is all in the wild flower. And to try to keep it not natural as possible. Well, look, and then this teach in that tea ceremony is Earth is round. And try to live in the square and round. It's very difficult. So we are, Earth is round, so you mind and everything, you know, get along with another people, you have to be the round. Sun is round, I understood. Moon is always round. And Earth is round. At the tea ceremony, is not going to make a square in Earth. We're going to learn to get along with the people. Long is round, is smooth. Right surface is smooth, and round is much prettier than the square.
Well, you're discussing philosophy now.
That way that they teach all tea ceremony is teaching that each time you go something different. This is not religions, but we cannot separate from tea ceremony teaching and to the Buddhas, even Christian, because you go to read Buddha's teacher, same as Christian, and almost. So this tea ceremony is not religion, but you cannot separate it.
Does anyone have a question for Mrs. Law out there? Mrs. Law, you know, we were speaking with some other Asian and Pacific tradition bearers today, and the word Zen came into the conversation.
Yes.
Can you explain that word? Is it worth explaining? I mean, is it able to be explained?
Zen is Zen with the tea ceremony too. Because we set and set the mind. How you explain to that?
The mind state.
Yeah. And what else?
His presence. Uh-huh.
Being present was the word from the audience.
Yeah. And tea is the same way. You sit there and they're very quiet. And the Zen has come from China. And the most oldest monk in the Buddhist is do this for the so many years and so many years studying and the practice. Sit in the mountain for years after, you know, so many months. And so when I get angry, I go over there, run into my room, I make some tea, you know, then I drink it. But this, you don't have necessary sit down to do the tea. There's something about the teaching, the tea ceremony, you can do in your mind. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the kitchen and start thinking step by the step or some time you get in, your anger is gone.
Words of wisdom. You know, you've got quite a good sense of humor and a lovely smile as well. Do you? I'm still interested in your family and your family's traditions. And I'm also wondering if your traditions have changed to reflect anything of Florida in either the tea ceremony or the origami or tamari. Do you use any Florida material or Florida?
No. I get all the tea from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
This morning I serve Japanese tea cake for tea. People had the tea with me this morning at the teacher. And every utensil I use from Japan. And origami paper. This you people bought me origami paper. But not quite square is Japanese origami paper. Origami paper in Japan is very precise. Square means square. But the United States, they said from Japan, but I guess like a little off factory, you know, not quiet, I think. Mm-hmm. And everything I use so far, tamari ball thread, you cannot buy here, so you have to send to the Japan. But my family has enjoyed it and sent to me. My niece, my nephew, every time I open the box, it has a origami paper and a tamari thread, and always have two can of tea. So make sure I don't have, you and I don't run away. Run out.
May I ask you a question? I understand there's a ceremony of the full moon.
Not necessary.
Not necessary.
No. If you like to do the tea ceremony and name it, you know, like September and the full moon, and they had some special kind of want to do it, you do it. But you can have tea ceremony anytime. You just invite the people. You send the invitations out. Because once you get into the tea room, say this way, I like to have the guest of honor for some constructions working people, the wife. Well, then I invite the mayor to city same time. I'm going to have such for the guest of honor. You like to join us for tea ceremony. If they come, once you get into the room, you do not have the drink. Who is higher or lower, anything like that. Everything in the equal. So if this mayor answer me, yes, I'm coming for the tea ceremony. If that invitation, he's one the last one, he's get served tea and rest. Because we go by the foods answer first.
Are there any other questions? Perhaps this we might wind up a little bit early today. Well, Mrs. Law, thank you.
You like to come to tea ceremony anytime. You ask him, he may provide the room, don't you? but this morning was a very, very nice place. What we do this morning?
Was it in that building?
Yes, in that building. Now?
Yeah, that's what the program says.
We're discussing the tea ceremony.
So will there be another tea ceremony?
No.
I don't believe so.
Would that be arranged?
At this point, the correct answer is next year. They arranged it for the teacher's workshop. They probably had to buy some supplies. That's the reason that they had to buy supplies for the kids' place. They had to buy supplies for lots of different things. And that's one reason for that. It's a good question, and I'm sorry for that confusion. But this we're always working Mrs. Law very, very hard at these festivals. She's got so much to share.
We can, you know, do that next year. That's it, next year.
Well, we have this wonderful participants lounge behind us. You're very welcome to get together on your own in the participants lounge. That's what it's for. But in a formal way, at this point, the correct answer is perhaps next year.
Oh.
Any other questions for Mrs. Law? Thank you very much, Kazuko Law.
Thank you.
You can see her dance with Wako Kai on Sunday.
Sunday, 1:30. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
If my volunteers will stick around, I want to thank them all. Thank everybody who volunteered here today, and also thank you all for listening just now. There's one group that didn't show. I want to track down what happened to Indak Pilipino in the crafts tent. And if you'd stick around long enough for us to decide if we could do a brief interview with them or just call it a day. Thanks, everyone.